Good morning, and welcome all. Let's say that that was the last bout of icy roads for this winter. Eh? A new immigrant friend of ours slid off his quarter mile driveway in his car, and having heard us talk about, you know, these dips on either side of our roads, he says, yeah, I really got ditched. Yeah, you did. I'd like to greet you and begin our gathering time with Jesus' words that John recorded that are in our verse for the week. Jesus says, I love you, each of you, with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. I have so experienced that this week. You may or may not know that last week I didn't really have a voice. I said I was giving God till Tuesday or Wednesday because I kind of needed to prepare for this and get my voice, you know, kind of back. I praise God. Let's look at some of our announcements. Take your bulletin. I think there are two who have announcements. Carla S., would you come up? Please take note of all the different activities that are going on. There's so much that's happening. Don't be afraid to start something new if something tugs at you that you see here. It's always interesting to see what's happening in Sunday school, for example, and there's a new class that Jerry's going to be offering starting April 7th called Money Matters. There's a women's class that has something new.
We just finished the hospitality series, and we're going to start a new one called Free of Me, and it talks about how we make everything about ourselves and trying to get our focus back onto what God wants. I do have a couple more books if anybody is interested. It'll be a little bit of reading and a little bit of DVD and a lot of discussion stuff. All you women are welcome to join us. Right now we're meeting downstairs in the corner by the library. If that gets too small, I don't know, we'll figure it out. So we won't start next week, we'll start 2 weeks from today.
Good morning. I wanted to draw your attention to one announcement that didn't make it into the bulletin. The Gideon Banquet in Altona is coming up. You may have seen the poster on the bulletin board, or maybe you saw the slide before church. Tuesday, April 9th is our annual Gideon Banquet. You are all welcome to come. If you would like a complimentary ticket, just let me or Gary know. Our musical guest this year is Rosemary Siemens, so please contact us if you'd like to come, because I think the tickets will go quick. Thank you.
Then, Tim Weeb, who we've been praying for, passed away on Thursday. And his funeral is this afternoon at 2:30. Now, we've been hearing a lot of stories of the impact that he had. You know about his radio ministry. You know about his MCI leadership and teaching for many years. We'll be praying for him, for his family. Also, Greg Enns just passed away. Last night, apparently, I was just hearing. Greg Enns of Honda. And happy news. Helen Jansen is, who you just saw her picture up there, is celebrating her 90th birthday today. Exciting. 90. And she's still inviting everybody to come. Then, Kristen Falk and Darren Workington. Are you here today, Kristen and Darren? I don't see them, but congratulations to them. They're finalizing their plans for their upcoming wedding on Saturday the 23rd, beginning a spring break for the teacher. We want to wish you lots of joy and God's blessings as you celebrate your commitment to one another. And I hope that they're going to get that. And this year, you may have noticed, we are running a special for brides starting with a K, right? So when back in October, we had Christina, and then we had Kim, and then, we went to a wedding Chloe starting with a K, but then we really liked Janelle, so that was a good switch, so we let her in. Very soon, we had have Kristen now, then we're going to have Kelly, and then Katrina, and now... Then we have Shanley, you know, and we really liked her, so we're good with that, too. We let her slip in. But now, Kirsten, you can hardly say the right Congratulations, Kirsten and Matthias. We're so excited for you, finalizing... Their commitment to their relationship. As you prepare for your wedding day, and even more so for your life together, may God bless you and be your guide and your joy in this very special engagement time. Very exciting news. Today, you know, again, the children are leading us. They're inviting us to help with memorizing. And I'm just so encouraged that they are, they're doing this. They're memorizing these pieces of scripture. When you talk to them after the summer, they know a big chunk of the scripture that they've been memorizing. And now, preparing for Easter, Isaiah 53. 3-6 is what they're memorizing from the International Children's Bible. They are up to the end of verse 4. Let's read that together to encourage ourselves to do that. Let's read. He was hated and rejected by people. He had much pain and suffering. People would not even look at him. He was hated and we didn't even notice him. But he took our suffering on him and felt our pain for us. We saw his suffering. We thought God was punishing him. And we'll just stop there. That's as far as they are. We can do this. Okay? We can do this. I've been thinking much about listening. My need to listen to God much, much more closely. To learn to hear his voice much more clearly. To listen better. This comes in for me in response to a deep and a kind of a lips parched kind of a sense of being, needing more of him, being thirsty for him, and feeling far too distracted, needing desperately a refilling of him in all of my veins. Maybe you're there with me today. So when we think of Second Lent, the second Sunday of Lent, we often think of giving things up. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. In fact, it can be very helpful. Last Sunday, in Sunday school, Esther was reading from a series on Lent by Anne Voskamp, who writes A Thousand Gifts. Anne met a Kenyan woman. So I want to tell you a bit of a story. Anne met a Kenyan woman who walked 8 hours a day, five times a week, which is 26 miles a day for her, to hear God's word spoken from the book of John. For Christ, she gave up the monthly sacrificing of animals that they did in their in their village, which earned her the hostility of her neighbors. She got sick. She was very feverish. I'm kind of condensing the story. Her neighbors wished death on her, thinking she was cursed. She lay in her bed, talking to God. She said, "God, look at the way people are speaking of me. Because I leave everything for you, because I give up the sacrifices for your sacrifice, they say this is why I'm sick. I want your courage." And in the darkened stillness of her room, of her opened heart, she suddenly resonated with the word, with word in her inner chambers of her being. And I thought, this happens when we spend that time and just sit with God. So this is what she heard. She heard somebody say, she heard a voice in her spirit. I don't know if it was audible, I don't think so. Saying, "I hear you. I see you. I know the goodness that you're doing." She lay still. What did I hear? Was it an answer? And then one word reverberated in her that she'd never heard or known in her life. Galatians. Galatians verse 9. She lay motionless in the dark, confused. What was Galatians? Then she said, "The church mamas came." We know what this is about. We have church mamas in our church. The church mamas came. 40 church mamas came to tell me to keep on. Keep on. Do not lose hope, sister. God is with you. Oh, if you need those words, take them to heart. She says, "And I tell the church mamas, I tell them, a voice comes within me telling me, I hear you, I see you, the goodness that you're doing." Galatians, verse 9. Galatians. Nobody knows what that is. Someone asks if anyone has an English Bible. Pages are turned. Someone reads it in English. Galatians. This must be a word of God. She has heard a word from God. And all of this, all of us in the room, we start to cry because of the Bible. Because God speaks. There's more to that. They look it up and they wonder, Galatians what? Galatians what? Verse 9. Galatians. So they look up 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and finally find a good answer that was perfect for them. But my point here is that God speaks when we listen. Anne Voskamp's note on this is this. The enemy plots our destruction through distraction. Distraction from God's word, distraction from God's voice, distraction from God's ways. Give up distractions to keep your soul from destruction. She says, and this is the piece that impacted me, and I'd like to just start our time together with these words. Give up whatever you need to hear God speak. Your loves alone limit how much of God you have. Oh, that got me. You can have as much of God as you actually want. Oh, those are good words. What if this Lent is a Lent of listening? Oh, I pray for that. Let's pray quickly. Father, we are so grateful for your presence here. So grateful that you want to speak. Lord, we are listening. Would you speak and help us to hear? Amen. S, Esther and Ing, let's sing.
Good morning.
Whoa.
Sorry, I'll leave it alone.
In order to help our hearts focus and in order to just prepare our minds to listen and to hear from God, I think that we need to change our focus from us to God. And so I'll invite you to join with me in singing number 534 from our hymn book, Great Is Your Faithfulness, as we focus on what God has done for us and who He is. All three verses of 534, please stand with me. And then turn a couple pages over to 540. I stand amazed in the presence. If we focus on God's faithfulness, and maybe you can think of at least one thing He did for you this week, one place He was faithful, we stand amazed in His presence as He cares for us. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 4 and 5, number 540.
Oh,
Don't put your books away. I want to repeat verse 5. When with the ransomed in glory, we've just heard of more people joining those we already know in glory. What is that day going to look like? I want you to sing it like you mean it. There will be a day in glory, and we will see our loved ones there again. And Christ is going to be the biggest part of that. Let's sing verse 5 and the last chorus one more time. Sing it like you mean it. Thank you. You may be seated.
Now or later.
Let's take time for the offertory now. Jalen Nickel is going to play for us. Thanks, Jalen. After that, we'll have the children's story. So right after the offertory, kids, you can come on up because Kim and Mark have something for you.
Test. 1, 2. No? Or it's going? Okay, we're good? All right, thanks, Kenley. Okay. Oh boy, big group today. Oh yeah. Okay, good morning, guys. How are you doing? Yeah, good. I guess spring break's coming up, right? So that can't be too bad. Okay, so today we're going to be talking a little bit about two sisters. How many of you guys have sisters?
Two.
Oh, lots of people with sisters. Okay, now, are you guys two annoying ones? Oh, boy. Let's hope they're not here. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Well, okay, now, how many of you are just like your sisters? Nobody?
I only draw, and that's the only thing.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yep. So people have different priorities, right? Different things that they have on their plates, and different ways of responding to what they have on their plates. So today, I brought with me Kim and a balance board. And some weights. So if I can get Kim to go up on the balance board, we'll say that what Kim has to do is she has to balance her priorities and the things that she needs to get done in a week. Okay? No, careful, Kim. Watch out. Yep, there we go. That might be best. Okay, so each one of these weights will represent something that Kim needs to do. So, let's see here. In a week, Kim has to, she has to feed me. Oh, okay. Okay. We'll put that on there. Okay, is that easy to balance, or is that getting a little tougher? A little harder? Okay. What else? Kim has to work. She works at GBC. I think that's difficult. Okay, and then let's see here, what else? Oh, well, maybe we'll pick some things now that you guys also have to do. Do any of you guys need to clean your room?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, did some of you have to do it yesterday?
No.
You didn't?
Yeah, every day.
Every day? Oh boy, okay, yeah, so we'll definitely add weight for that one. Okay. Oh, does it look like Kim's struggling a little bit? Well, yeah, a little bit. Oh boy, that's not very easy to balance. Okay, let's see here. What else do you guys have any other chores that you need to do? Oh, you guys need to go to school too, so that's already on there. What else do you guys need to do? What's that? Sorry?
Homework.
Ah, homework and stuff. Yep, I've kind of got that with Kim's work. Let's see here. You guys have any other chores? Wash the dishes. Well, actually, that one I help out Kim a little bit with that one. But we'll put it on there. Yes. Okay. So now we've got a lot of weight on this side, and it looks like it's getting very hard to balance. What do you guys think should go on the other side? Oh, you're seeing the other weight already. Yes. Now, maybe I'll ask, what do you guys think this weight represents? Good answer. That's the right answer. Yes, this weight is like bringing Christ into our lives and giving him priority and putting him first. So, like, let's say for some of those other weights, Kim's just waiting patiently for me to put it on. So for those other weights, like, let's say when you're cleaning up your room, do you guys ever worship God or praise God while you're cleaning up your room? Sometimes, yeah? Like, let's say you put on, like, worship music.
Every time I clean my room, he always helps me go faster.
Oh, yes. So God helps with a lot of what we have to do. Now, I mean, that weight is still going to be there. We're still going to have things to do.
But with Jesus, here. It becomes a little bit easier to balance. Well, actually, a lot easier to balance. And, yeah. Okay, you can let it down, Kim. Oh, ours. Yes. Yep. Life is not easy, but Christ helps make it easier to balance. So we've got to remember to always put Christ first. Now, in the story today, there's two sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, they both had different things. Well, kind of the same thing on their plates. Jesus was coming over. And so they had to think of what they were going to do for Jesus. Now, would any of you guys need to clean your room if Jesus was coming over?
Yes.
You don't think so? Oh, is your room clean now? I think you'd probably want it pretty clean if Jesus was coming. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So one of the sisters was really concerned. She was really concerned with making sure that Jesus had food, making sure that everybody was getting what they needed. And the other sister wasn't. She was just spending time with Jesus. And when the one who was doing all the work asked for some help, asked for, like, for her sister's help, Jesus said that the one who was making the right decision was the one who was just spending time with him. Mm-hmm. So it's important, even though there's a bunch of stuff to do, to make sure that Jesus is still your priority in everything that you do. And yeah. All right, so let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are God and we are not. I pray, Lord, that we would always seek you out and remember you in everything that we do and everything that needs to get done, and that we would focus on you and put you first. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats.
Thank you. And thank you, Jalen, for some beautiful music. As we go into prayer time, often I don't know what to pray. I think we often don't know exactly what to pray for someone. Sometimes just not a clue. And that's okay. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray for ourselves. But isn't it a beautiful picture to have hands that say, Jesus, would you look at this one right here? Not weird like, honey, I shrunk the kids with tiny people in there. But all of who that person is, God knows. So the picture of all of us holding somebody in front of Jesus' face, so to speak, as if they don't know, as if he doesn't know them already and know everything about them. But we're saying, we know that they're struggling. We know that there are things that we want to express to you, Father. Would you please look out for them? look at him or her and meet their needs. As we pray again, we'll just pause sometimes in between so that those people or those circumstances, that situation that you're thinking of, can be prayed for in between too. Let's stand to pray. Father, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for the grace that you show to us in this place and in our daily life. Jesus, would you completely permeate this sanctuary? May your spirit fill the children's church area, the nursery, every space in this building with your strong and loving, wise, life-giving presence. Would you also fill those nooks and crannies of our greatest battlefield, our minds? We're listening. We hear you when we hear people's stories of what you did. We hear you in songs. We hear you when we read your words. Let us hear your voice more and more clearly from the inside of us. Our eyes are on you. Would you quiet our thoughts as we stand here? We are listening. Please forgive us where we've fallen short this week. What is it, our gracious Father, that you would want to say to us in this moment? You've said we can come to you with anything, and we ask that you heal us physically, that you heal our minds, that you heal our spirits. Father, would you heal our marriages? Please speak into our loneliness. Thank you for the joy of upcoming weddings, of celebrations, for the joy of children. I pray for their exhausted parents, for the joy of friendships and of family. And Father, in this time, we lift up to you, especially Tim Weeb's family and Greg Entz's family. Pray for Menno, Dick, and Paul Peters, for John Weeb. Pray for healing for their bodies. Pray for Jake Rempel and the many others in personal care homes. Would you give him today a cloak of comfort and assurance of your steady faithfulness? Would you give Helen Jansen joy today on her birthday? May she feel precious and honored. We pray for people with failing health who are bravely here anyway, despite pain or other hard things. Those who struggle with anxiety regularly or are just a bit anxious today, would you calm us as we look at you, Jesus? We remember again Ryan in Mexico and Tyler Lowen in Cambodia, Murray and Carol Hansberger on their leave from Papua New Guinea, Laura and her family in the Congo, the Eagle's Wings Children's Village and those families in Uganda. Father, would you continue to make your strength known? I pray for Seth this morning as he presents what you've put on his heart. Would you fill him with your spirit, with your words that are near to him? And lastly, Father, we are listening, knowing that what you have to say to us through the message, through the words of songs, through your words from Scripture, whatever you have to say will be well worth our while to listen to. We pray this with thanksgiving for your continued stirring up within us and your not giving up on us. We pray it in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Be seated, please. Let's sing a little more.
Please turn again in your hymn books to number 337. What a friend we have in Jesus. Then turn over to number 578, and we'll sing verse 1 and 5.
Thank you.
Would you come and give us the scripture for today's message? Thanks.
Today's scripture passage, we're reading from Luke chapter 10. Okay, yeah, don't touch that. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her."
Good morning. So it's a familiar couple of verses we have, well, five verses we have this morning. But if we're up for it, I think the Lord has more for us in it. And I think God is inviting us to feel the weight of what Jesus is feeling about these five verses. And over the last couple of months, I've gotten my heart connected with this passage, but and I'm trying to be excited about it, but the cost of I think what the Lord's calling me to in these verses is also real. So, but there's a huge reward, and I'm excited for that. So, this morning you're not going to hear you're going to hear a heart level message. I don't want to go too much into the context and the history, though I really, really love those things. But I want to talk about our heart's relation to Jesus' invitation in Luke 10. Most of my life, I feel pain. I feel empty. Though, I'm not usually aware of that. If that makes sense. There's so much going on externally, internally, that I don't really often realize the things that might be deeper. And because most of me, honestly, day to day, I feel quite excited about life. I feel really blessed by God. I feel like there's opportunity in life, and I'm excited for my day most of the time. But underneath that, there's pain in my heart that's lying there unnoticed. And I want to be real here for a minute, if you'll let me. I think it's really good to be honest in as a church together and be real with the things that go on in our lives, the things that we like to hide, but they're real, and Jesus wants to meet us in those. I feel pain in my life from all kinds of things. Pain from disappointing a previous boss, where I was trying to do my best and it didn't, and I felt his disappointment in me. I feel pain from the memory of that. I feel pain from and shame from knowing that, or the memory of looking at pornography. Masturbating.
I feel pain from my mistakes in that. And I feel pain from emptiness, of feeling nothing at all. And it gets real. And these are the places in life we all have pain and hurts and anxieties and all kinds of things that Jesus wants to address and give us freedom in. And I just invite you now, take a look to your left right now. And see those people beside you, they have pain in their life. Now take a look to your right. Those same people have pain. We all have it. And this is this passage that we have in Luke 10. Jesus invites us to take these things to him. And it's in our intimacy with Jesus, in sitting at his feet, that we get to see what Jesus is wanting to give us. And so I think that's a hard thing, though, because in my life, oftentimes I can fill my life, my downtime, my free time, my evenings with all kinds of things, with finishing to-do lists, which are great, and I do it just because I don't want to address what's really in my heart. I don't want to think about what's really happening inside. And so we have an invitation contrary to that in these verses. So turn to John 15. My mom already read it before, but John 15, verse 9. It's just a crazy, crazy verse, but just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. The NIV says, now remain in my love. And as was read before, continually let my love nourish your hearts, Jesus says. Continually let my love nourish your hearts. I think that idea is one we kind of think is a nice idea, but we don't. For, at least for myself, we don't necessarily do it. This idea of letting Jesus' love continually nourish our hearts. It seems like to spend time on like receiving Jesus' love, it kind of feels unproductive. We're not serving God, and it feels like we should be past that sometimes. But Jesus says, let my love continually nourish your hearts. So in light of that, let's look back at Luke 10, the story of Mary and Martha. That I think most of us are probably fairly familiar with. In verse 39, we have a one-sentence description of Mary. It says, Martha had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word, listening to what he said. She was attentive. She took time to sit at his feet, Bible open, so to speak, and hear him. Bible open and talk to him. And then verse 41 and 42 of Luke 10. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. I really like that illustration, Mark and Kim. We have all these things to do, and Jesus invites us to sit at his feet. But I think we can often look at this this story, and in our minds this story is Martha was serving, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Mary was doing a good job. And so we think, okay, I think that causes shame in me because, oh, shoot, I shouldn't be serving, but like, wait, I know I'm supposed to do that. And it's difficult, but I don't think Jesus was rebuking Martha for serving. I don't think it's kitchen versus sitting at Jesus' feet. I think Jesus was correcting Martha and saying, you're going to get weighed down by serving if you're not doing it connected with me. Just kind of like in that balance, right? If we have all these things, we're going to get weighed down. We're going to keep serving, but we're not going to be able to do it if we're doing it disconnected from Jesus. The kitchen work that Martha was doing, that's essential stuff. The kingdom of God needs that. But Jesus is saying, without intimacy and without closeness with me, you're not going to make it. And so there's this sentence in verse 42. Jesus says, but only one thing is necessary. I think we could fly by that pretty fast. But only one thing is necessary. Jesus, I know you know the Bible pretty good, Jesus, but I know there's a lot more you require of me than one thing. But I think Jesus would say, there's only one thing. Jesus would say, if you get this one thing right, of sitting at my feet and hearing me and hearing my words, if you get this one thing right, all the other things you're going to do with the right heart, with the right spirit, and you're going to do it connected with me. This is the one thing necessary. I think if we think about the weight of that, it's just massive that Jesus would say this is the one thing necessary. Cool verse in Psalm 1 that I'm reminded of that speaks to that. It says, how blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In whatever he does, he prospers. If we get this one thing right, it changes everything. So what does this look like in my life? What does it mean to sit at the feet of Jesus? What does it look like to hear, to listen? I think it looks like quieting my soul before God. Quieting my soul, Bible open, talking to the Holy Spirit. Talking to him and talking to him about his word. I think if we only pray on the go, we won't pray that much. I think it looks like saying I love you to him under your breath as you do your day. I think it means scheduling time to receive his affections for you. I don't think it's really about being quiet. I don't think it's necessarily about sitting or serving. It's about prioritizing his voice in our lives. Nobody could choose this for you, but it's the good thing. Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good part. A quote from one of my favorite speakers, Corey Russell. He says, the foundation of a life of intimacy. And he asks this question, can we swim upstream against the current of distraction, anxiety, worry, and busyness, and sit at the feet of Jesus long enough for all the other voices without and within to quiet so we can hear his voice? Can we swim upstream against the current of distraction, worry, anxiety, busyness, to sit at the feet of Jesus long enough so that the voices quiet down and we can truly hear his word? So this is an interesting story. Mary and Martha. We're so familiar with it, I wonder if we kind of notice what's going on. This kind of hit me yesterday, actually. Just this story. So you go to someone's house, and you sit down on the couch with your spouse or your friends and whoever it is who's hosting you, and their spouse is in the kitchen making supper. And so you're just chatting, and you're enjoying each other, and the spouse in the kitchen making supper asks their spouse, do you want to come help me with supper? And you kind of yell over to them in the kitchen, like, you're making supper, but like, why not? I know you got something on the stove there, but why don't you just come to the living room and join us here? And they're like, well, I got something on the stove. I'm making supper. You're like, no, forget about supper. Just come sit down. Forget about supper? You don't just come over to someone's house and just say, forget about supper. Like, but that's what Jesus did. And he actually takes it further. He says, this is the one thing necessary. Sitting at Jesus' feet is maybe a difficult thing to get to, but it's a really, really good thing because Jesus is a glad, glad person. He's the most glad person there is. Psalm 45 says, Jesus, that the Father anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness above anyone else. Jesus is the most joyful person on the planet and in heaven. He's really, really pleased with you. And that's the God we come to when we listen to him. And I think I so often feel his disappointment in me. And but when I see Jesus smiling, and I begin to have hope. And just on Friday this week, I was sitting at Jesus' feet, so to speak, and I asked, I was just kind of waiting for his voice, and I just heard him say, Seth, I love our relationship, me and him. And that just hit me. I'd never heard him say that before. He said, Seth, I love our relationship. And that was big for me because I often feel like I should be doing more. I should be spending more time with him. But he's saying, I love our relationship. He's pleased with me. And there's an invitation to come to this Jesus who's so delighted in us. And those, that's an example of how wonderful it is when we sit at his feet. I've asked Tyson also to share a quick testimony of a time in his life where Jesus, come on up, Tyson, where Jesus has met him and spoken to his life too. Just to hear from someone else too of Jesus speaking to us in our own life.
Thank you. He asked me to speak for 2 minutes. I'll try and keep it that short, but we'll see how it goes. Oh, yeah, so I got kind of like one more specific story and kind of a general idea of just spending time alone with God. And the general idea is just my perspective has always changed. I've always noticed like the emptiness that Seth talked about and like basically, yeah, just the emptiness you have is I've noticed the difference when I spend time with God and I feel lifted up. He brings me up, but then I forget to continue spending time with him later and I slowly drain out. And then suddenly I realized that, hey, wait, I'm kind of empty. And then I was like, oh, wait, I haven't spent time with Jesus. And so I continue going. He continues to always speak different things. He always knows what to say because he's God and his word is perfect. And so he always continues to lift me up. And one other thing just to add that, something I heard recently is if you have cancer, you don't clean up your cancer and then go to the doctor. You go to the doctor because you have cancer, and we come to Jesus with our brokenness. We don't try and fix ourselves, and it's just a place where you can be honest and real with him, and he brings true healing because he is the best doctor. And so, yeah, and one other specific story. This is from a long time ago in high school. I was in grade 10 or 11, and just in our kitchen room upstairs, because I used to not have such a cool room. My room's pretty awesome now. But so what I would do when everyone was gone, I'd basically use the kitchen as my worship area. And so I would, because they had a speaker in there, so I'd blast music on the speaker and worship in the kitchen. And there's this one day where I was playing, and this kind of was cool for me because last week I actually played this song on the piano. Some of you might know it. It's called You Know Me by Stephanie Gretzinger. And basically, it's just, a lot of it's just repeating you know me, oh, 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 over and over and over again. But I remember this moment specifically from high school where I'm sitting on my kitchen floor crying, and just the Just because, I mean, it's so hard to put into words when I was thinking about, like, how am I supposed to, like, share testimony of this? But because it goes so much deeper than our thoughts, it just hits our spirits, it hits our souls, just the love of God and how he was so there with me. He's so personal, he's so real, and continues to just blows me away how amazing he is, and that he truly knows me, and he wants to continue to let me in, for me to let him into my life. And it's just so amazing to have a God that we have. And another thing just on perspective is that whenever I spend this time with him, I continue to see, he changes the way that I see myself, he changes the way that I see others and the world, and changes the way that I just see who he is, and just the character that he is, of who he truly is, because the father of lies, the devil, wants to come and convince us otherwise of who we actually are and who our God is. And so he always continues to remind me of the truth, and so we have a good father.
Yeah, we all have experiences of being with Jesus and sweet times with Jesus. But thanks for sharing that, Tyson, of how good it is to listen. And so we have in our lives, we have these places of pain, of difficulty in all kinds of things. Loved ones who have passed away. We have sicknesses. We have anxiety. We have unsure of ourselves. And coming to the feet of Jesus, Jesus meets us and satisfies us in ways we didn't know we needed. And it's in this place of receiving from Jesus that's the foundation of intimacy with God, of learning who he is as he speaks to us. So how do we make this happen? I think most of us want this. We want more of Jesus. And we want more connection with him. We want this. I don't think it's for a lack of desire that we struggle with this, because I certainly struggle with this, to prioritize listening to Jesus, prioritize making time for that. I think every single BMC-er has a genuine love for Jesus. I don't think that's the issue. But I want to share two things that someone told me a while ago, a number of years ago, that was just totally a game changer for me in trying to spend time with God. First thing he said to me was, schedule time with God. Schedule time with God like you schedule a coffee or you schedule a meeting with someone. You put it in your calendar or your agenda or wherever it is, and you have an appointment with God. Corrie ten Boom said, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the King and keep it. Have an appointment with the King and keep it. And I found that was a game changer for me when I scheduled it in. I got on my phone like 7 a.m. Tuesday morning. Me and Jesus are meeting, or whatever it is for you. Put it down somewhere. And then the second thing he told me, which was as game-changing for me, which was make a plan. And I find sometimes I do part one that I just mentioned, but I don't do part two. So I have a scheduled time, and I get to it, and I show up, and I'm there. And then I wonder, what do I do now? Like, I don't really have anything on my mind to talk to God about, and I don't really know what to do. And so then I quickly start wanting to do other things. Well, make a plan of what you want to do when you get there. And so that can look like a lot of different things, but maybe it's, okay, for 10 minutes, I'm going to put on some worship music and I'm going to worship God. And then for another 15 minutes, I'm going to sit quiet before God and just listen to what the Holy Spirit might want to say. And then for 20 minutes, I'm going to read my scripture for today and let God speak to me through reading scripture. And then for 10 minutes, I'm going to pray for the people around me. And you'll blink and an hour will have gone by. It totally changed things for me. So if you have your own plan and it's working, that's great. But that's just a suggestion of if that's a difficult thing for you. You're not sure what to do when you get there. Make a plan. Jesus said one thing is necessary to Mary, and I think he's underlining that one thing. One thing is necessary, and I think he's calling us to this prioritization of the secret place with Jesus. And last thing I want to say here this morning is I think he's calling us to that individually, but I think he's calling us to some new things as a church in 2019. I think God has more for us in 2019. In a special way, I think God has more waiting for us in this year. I think he has, he wants to bring us into kingdom realities that we haven't yet been walking in, that he's going to shepherd us and lead us into living in this year. I think Jesus is giving us in this year fresh eyes for single-mindedness on Jesus, on saying, Jesus, I love you, and you are my focus of my love and my affections, and a single-mindedness on Jesus. And I think the Holy Spirit is rooting us in our love for our bridegroom, Jesus. And I don't know what all God is going to lead us into in this year, but I think he's got some special things. But I think we also need to be ready for following, even if it's costly. So I just want to together as a church here this morning respond to Jesus. And so I invite you to just to close your eyes right now and picture Jesus before you. Picture Jesus smiling at you. And just in light of listening to Jesus' words, hearing his voice, if there's something in your heart that says, Jesus, I want to prioritize the secret place with you, and I want to prioritize hearing your voice, I just invite you to, in your heart, just between you and him, just say yes to him. Just between you and him. Just say yes to Jesus if that's in your heart. Amen. Jesus, we love you.
As we listen to Jesus speaking to us, let's respond by singing 216, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Let's pray. Father of glory, would you root us and ground us in your love? And would your love rest in our hearts? Would we know the width and length and height and depth and just gigantic intensity of your love? Would we know it in our hearts, God, that you love your children so that we could be filled up with all the fullness of God? Thank you that you will help us in prioritizing your voice. You will help us. Thank you, God, that you will help us in this, and you'll walk with us in it. God, would you give us peace and would you give us rest in you in the rest of today? Amen. Go in peace.